Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, for those anytime easy drinking occasion.
Guys, I've been listening to y'all since this show aired.
Just wanted to tell Ty, I appreciate how much you know about the Razorbacks. I mean, you're very knowledgeable for as young as you are.
There are people that have saved up all year and done whatever it took just to get a ticket, just to get a glimpse at the Razorbacks.
Got my keg in the freezer. We're ready to get this thing rolling and go home, baby.
And the transfer from Northern Kentucky has a chance to give the Razorbacks a one-point lead. Tate steps to the line. Second one's on the way. It's good, and the Hogs lead it by one. Now they've got to defend. Kentucky's going to have to go from one end to the other. They've got 4.3 to do it, and here we go. Toppin is going to be the inbounder. He'll run the baseline. Drops it in to Sarr. Sarr from midcourt. Pass stolen away by Davis to the other end. Arkansas wins the game. Davis with the steal at the horn. And the Hogs have escaped with an 81-80 win.
You know when it's right. You know when you feel it, baby. You hold it. You hear it. You taste it. It's right. You got the right one, baby.
Kentucky, your basketball loss is brought to you by Diet Pepsi this morning and Eric Musselman and however many Mike Kaywood gave him last night that helped him get the win. And I know he was so pumped up following the conclusion of that game, jumping up and down the sideline as the Arkansas players made their way over the bench area. Devo Davis dunked at the end of the basketball game. Just a great moment for Arkansas basketball. It's weird because you beat a crappy Kentucky team, probably the worst Kentucky team, place in 50 years. I don't know if it spans back that far yesterday. I don't know what Kentucky team's worse than that lately. Even the team that Archie Goodwin was on that you beat wasn't this bad. It's just weird saying how bad this Kentucky basketball team is.
If you beat Kentucky and you move solidly into third, a chance to maybe to be second place this weekend, you deserve a Coke Zero, man. Coach, you deserve a Coke Zero. You shouldn't have to live with a Diet Pepsi. I know you're brand loyal. I know there's some family ties, but let's get the man a Coke Zero. Can we step it up a little bit. Our man doesn't have to drink Diet Pepsi.
I haven't crossed over that stage where I have to start drinking diet drinks yet, but I'm not looking forward to that. And I don't drink sodas really to begin with. I've really stopped at that when I gained however many pounds sophomore year when I was drinking two Dr. Thunders a day or whatever it was. But
That's enough to break you off soda right there, Dr. Thunder. No, it's Dr. Dazzle is now the one.
There's still one or two in there. Might crack one of those
been
open.
Been there a year.
I almost cracked open a Natural Light last night. Oh. I was so excited during the week. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I was thinking about this last night. We'll talk some Arkansas basketball here in hour number two of the morning.
By the way,
Rush.
Kentucky's 5-13 this morning if you are just checking into the program. So
Moses Moody made some plays last night, including the block he had on BJ Boston, where Boston goes sulking over the bench. It was so great. When is the last time as an Arkansas basketball fan that you can say that you had the better player when you played against Kentucky?
The better, better pro prospect, not
the best player that night, not the best player that day, not the better player on the court that evening.
The most highly heralded player
on that list was Moses Moody last night.
Not very often, and it's generally because, do you think Kentucky's void of talent this year? When you look down this roster and...
Oh, it's still filled with McDonald's All-Americans.
Exactly. I mean, you still look and you mentioned Brandon Boston and, you mentioned Isaiah Jackson, who got frustrated and fouled out of the ball game. Mintz, all these guys. I mean, it's not like Kentucky didn't recruit well. I mean, let's not feel sorry for Cal here that, boy, he swung and missed six different times on these McDonald's All-Americans were really checkers All-Americans, or what I'm trying to think of, some other off rallies. They were rallies All-Americans.
That was my mom's favorite restaurant.
Rallies?
Favorite fast food, yeah.
You know, that's not the case. This team just hasn't come together for Kentucky, and they've lost a lot of games late by gagging away leads or not being able to get it done in the last 4 minutes. But, yeah, I mean, generally it's because Arkansas doesn't recruit and get that type of player. Moses Moody is that type of player. So it's it's much like the series where we were talking about yesterday, where 34 of 41 times now Kentucky's been ranked since Arkansas joined the league, and they've played 41 times since whatever, 92 or whatever it is. Arkansas's only been ranked 12 of those 41 times, and 10 of those were from 99 back in Nolan's heyday. So only twice has Arkansas been ranked when playing Kentucky since 1999. So it's much like that. It's generally because Arkansas doesn't have the guy, not because Kentucky doesn't. I think Kentucky still got those type of players. Moses Moody is just that special.
I'm looking, Moses's draft stock continue to rise as I look at mock drafts every week. A lot of places have him in the top 10 when you go look at these mock drafts. And Jason brings up our Facebook live feed. And again, anytime you're not in our listening area, whether you're on the radio stations, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch, that's where you can watch us always on the Morning Rush and Halftime. Joe Johnson is maybe the last player when an Arkansas-Kentucky game you can say that's the best player, that's the best NBA projector is Joe Johnson moving forward. It has been, I mean, that's early, is that late 90s or early 2000s?
Right in there. And he only played three semesters, if you remember. You know, Joe wasn't here. He played a spring, and then the following year, he didn't, you know, he kind of gets lost a lot of times, I think, in a lot of people's memories because there aren't a lot of memories of him. But that's a good one. Patrick Beverley has been a much better pro. His name came up last night. So I'll bring him up here. His name came up on the TV broadcast. He's been a better pro than college players. A good college player. He's been a much better pro, is I guess the point. I'm just kind of going through some guys that have had big NBA or bigger NBA success. Would those be the best two in the last 20 years as far as long-range success? I mean, obviously you got Portis. Daniel Gafford's working his way. I don't know if you can make a determination on those two guys yet.
Yeah.
But
they've had, by the way, Daniel Gafford and Bobby Portis have had.
And Isaiah Joe may outdo all those guys. They just haven't had enough runway yet to determine that with those three guys. So I'm just saying, you look at complete careers, and Patrick Beverley and Joe Johnson's been about as solid as anybody with a few guys right now working on it.
I saw Derek at a restaurant on Saturday, and he was wearing Philadelphia 76ers. Derek Joe, who's Isaiah's dad, and he was wearing Philadelphia 76ers gear. And I just,
as he should be.
And I was just, I was so, like, I see.
You wanted to high five him, didn't you?
I didn't, he was eating with his family, and I didn't want to interrupt that, but I had a nice little fist bump as I walked by, because I was like, it was just cool to me, because I know how so many River Valley and Fort Smithians love that Isaiah is having a pretty successful NBA depth in year number one, which is really cool. What stood out to me last night, and I know Arkansas got rebounded, I think it was by 9, if I remember the stat correctly. I think it was 42-33, if you want to double-check that for me.
Last night, rebounds were 42-33 in favor of Kentucky.
Just noggin up here. We're signing it from
Arkansas
memory.
Had, well, then how many, okay, Mr. Know-It-All, how many offensive boards did Arkansas have?
How many offensive boards did Arkansas have? A lot.
Two big ones at the end.
And that's
So you know the two at the end, so how many total did Arkansas have on the offensive glass?
I'm
going
to go 10 plus.
Five.
Okay, not
five.
Close. Well, what stood out to me last night, if you watched the two games last year, they're both really competitive, but Arkansas just has so many more dudes. And I know that, like, whether it's Justin Smith making play, they were so much more physical on the glass. Like, Nick Richards last year pounded you on the glass is some of the other Kentucky big men. And again, you lost the rebounding last night, but I wasn't watching the game and thinking to myself, man, they're just getting abused inside. You beat them in points in the paint. You beat them in bench scoring. You didn't turn the ball over. There's a lot of good things that you can point to last night that you can continue to get happy about. And the fact, y'all, you've won 5 straight conference games. Now, you were pretty much expected to win those 5 straight, but what a wonderful opportunity you have in front of you. Missouri this Saturday with second place in the SEC on the line.
Want to tell you about the new Michelob Ultra organic seltzers. They come in spicy pineapple, cucumber lime, and peach pear. They're light and refreshing and are made with zero sugar. The new Michelob Ultra organic seltzers.
Boy, Houdini's in the house wearing number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs!
I ended on watching my nephew's basketball game in Tulsa early morning, but based on the weather, it might not be a good idea.
Yeah.
Kind of bummed about that because it's his last game of the season, and I haven't had a lot of free time, and I'd like to be able to take advantage of that. But it's now looking like that's not going to happen, unfortunately.
All right, Joe's Grill and Cantina tonight, Saturday, or anytime in between, 3400 South 74th Street across from Harps.
Let's go to the phone lines. Welcome in Mr. Danny in Russellville, who I know is pretty ecstatic after last night's one-point win. Danny, you're on the Morning Rush, man. Go ahead.
Good morning, guys. How many times do you see Arkansas where the referees will blow the whistle on a play like that at Kentucky? I don't believe I've ever seen it.
They're at the end with Tate.
And on the rebound.
That is a product of you get not one but two offensive boards and putbacks, and the effort puts you in a position to do that.
Now, will not be denied, baby.
If you look at it, it's a foul. He got hit in the head.
It was.
It's a pretty easy call.
Swallow that whistle and on a play like that again.
A thousand times, Danny.
But it's an end of game call, and we all have the idea. And listen, you want the players to decide the game at the end of the game, and when you hit someone in the head, that's foul. So.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I've seen us get fouled before, and they don't call nothing. I'm just saying, I was shocked that at Kentucky we got.
So, are you giving the referees credit?
I'm giving them credit in that instance.
I heard Z on the radio giving Pat Adams some love last night. Ran off the road.
Well,
drop the mic.
We didn't shoot that great, but Kentucky did. 54% from three, and they're basically a 30%. A 3-point
308th in the country in 3-point percentage in that game.
Should have never said that going into the game.
Well,
14 out of 26. Where we won the game is at the free throw line, and we did not turn the ball over. Six times.
Yep. And Danny, appreciate the call. So
thanks, guys.
Absolutely, buddy. So you bring up the lack of turnovers last night, according to Hog Stats, the least amount of turnovers that you've ever had in Rupp Arena. He ended the game with 6. That's an incredible stat that doesn't get tossed about enough. Also, another one. We've been moaning, complaining, and you know what, about layups this season. They shot 11 for 14 last night. Must said after the game that they worked on that several times, several different stations in practice that week. That was a crucial part of the game last night that they were able to take advantage. I mean, Kentucky's long, lanky as usual, and Arkansas outscored them in points in the paint last night. 27-19?
I think the final points in the paint, 32-20 points in the paint. Okay. Arkansas 32, Kentucky 20.
What am I looking at?
Bench points was 27-19.
Trying to recite that from memory. So, I mean, that's just a toughness thing, y'all. And Arkansas had it last night. You got to give them credit for that.
Now, listen, we know Kentucky's record. Let me repeat it because it just feels so good. Kentucky is 5-13 this year. I mean, but Kentucky's been in a lot of games. What has been their problem? The last 4 minutes of the ball game, they gag. They've been choking in the last 4 minutes. But let's not pretend like Kentucky's been a team that's just been getting blown out and crushed by everyone in these 13 losses. Yeah, their record is, again, if you didn't hear it, for everyone in the back row, Kentucky is 5-13 this year. But they've been in all these, nearly every one of these games Kentucky's been in. Their big problem, and particularly as of late, is gagging the lead away or gagging away their opportunity in the last 4 minutes. Last night, they did not do that. But Arkansas was just the better team down the stretch because, guess what? Arkansas is a better team than Kentucky. That's the bottom line this year. But it nearly slipped through Arkansas's hands.
And it did. And I know.
By the way, Kentucky is 5-13 this year.
No, we can say that another 10 times in the program just because it feels so good. Yeah. I know one person was on the edge of her seat last night. She's already chimed in on her Facebook live stream this morning. Make sure that if you can't listen to our show, if you're never not in a listening area here in Arkansas, you can always watch us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch. That is Miss Lisa in Northeast Arkansas. What an ending, right, Miss Lisa?
Well, good morning. I've not been to bed. My hair is standing straight up like a rooster. Is there any apps and taps close to Light, Arkansas?
You'd pay full price, wouldn't you?
I'd pay. Listen, just open me an account.
Get her a tab.
I'm another one back there. No, seriously, I like to have had a heart attack. And when they kept creeping up, and when we got the foul, which I didn't think we'd get, I'm like Ty. I have to agree with him, even though they knocked him over the head. I thought they're not. I was screaming, they're knocking him in the head. And that kid walked up there with a smile on his face, and that just sort of calmed me down. Like, just, you know, I've got this. I've got this. And then with 4.3 seconds left, I told my husband, I said, they're going to throw the ball down, they're going to hit a three, and they're going to beat us. And then I'm dying right here on the floor. And then Devo Davis, who normally makes me a nervous wreck, pulled off that good play. And I'm proud of my team.
Absolutely.
I've got one complaint. What? And I know I get on a lot of people's nerves at 20, what is it, 20 to 7?
Well, it is What's Your Beef Wednesday. So you've come to the right place for complaints.
Okay. Well, people will just have to say, that woman, her voice. Anyway, Moses Moody, please say it ain't so. Your hair, I loved it the way it was. When he came out there on the court, I thought, well, where's Moses Moody? They said, and I just started looking for the five.
What's the problem with Moses' hair?
He braided it. And, I mean, a lot of people, a lot of girls may like it, the younger group. We're talking about older group versus younger group. I loved Moses' hair just the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
Because he made me think of the Moses in the Bible. With that, you know, from the Ten Commandments, with that, you know, and then he braided it last night. But that might be what was the key to winning the game.
Moses' hair was the key to winning the game?
I think so. I PM'd him, and I got a smiley face back. So I'm thinking he's, I mean, him's so, on the same level
so
here.
So, Miss Lisa, hang on here.
I take away.
Okay.
Because you're our hair critic at the moment. You watch
okay.
You watch on the Facebook live stream and
oh,
watch.
Yes.
So give me yeah, this is where we're headed. Give me some thoughts because Ty loves the attention.
Well, let me tell you.
Who does Ty remind you of in the Bible?
The Oklahoma State, Gundy.
Mike Gundy
from Oklahoma.
I don't think he's in the Bible.
No, he's not. And just don't ever say I'm 25 and I'm a man, Ty, or that'd be the end of it.
That'd be the end of it. Okay.
Only one would be true.
But listen, I'm happy this morning. My voice is gone. I hadn't been to bed. I'm fixing to take my nerve pill for the day. That'll settle me down. But listen, I don't care if Kentucky's they played. If you didn't know the record last night, I think we can all come together and agree on this.
Mm-hmm.
Watching that game, you would have thought, I would have thought, Kentucky was top in the SEC like yep. they usually are.
Yeah. If you didn't hear me earlier, Kentucky is 5-13.
I heard you, and I'm fixing to open up my back door and scream it all over the Arkansas.
Do it, Miss Lisa. Appreciate your call this morning. Do it. Let your neighbors know.
Kentucky's 5-13.
So she brings up Moses Moody. I was telling Jenkins this morning.
Thank you, Miss Lisa. She hadn't called in a while on our show, and maybe it's those nervous. Maybe she's been out of her nervous pills. I don't know, but. We need you back in the fold here a little more on the regular, Miss Lisa.
We tend to say things after a win that can't be repeated on air, and you can ask my two roommates exactly what I said last night that can't be re-aired this morning after Arkansas defeated Kentucky. Well, the Arkansas Razorback Instagram and video account, there's the second video there that they might need to consider taking down.
I need a little editing.
Moses comes over. And you can hear exactly what he says. Let's bleep and go. And listen, I'm okay with that. I think we know from y'all listening to the program, you know, I really don't have a problem with that. They bleeped it out on Twitter, but they didn't bleep it out on Instagram.
Kind of forgot.
Yeah. So you might. I know that the Arkansas Athletic Department, there's a bunch of moles that listen to this program. Might be a good idea to go nix that little verbiage that you hear from Igan. I don't have a problem with it. This might be a good idea for the kids that are watching that video this morning.
Because the kids don't hear it from their parents.
That is true. So I will say I've never heard my dad drop the F-bomb. Now, I've only heard my dad cuss on less than five fingers. I think if he's only said like three or four.
He did and is doing a much better job than
that. He is also doing a much better job than his son, his firstborn, because his son curses like a sailor as soon as he gets off air from 6 to 9. Yeah. So we'll talk about these quick hitting headlines coming up.
All right. By the way, if you're just tuning in, Kentucky is 5-13. This morning, brought to you by Trinity Multifamily. Hey, if you own apartment complexes, condos, rental properties, great calls, great investments, and the market is right to maybe add to your portfolio. But if you want to do that, who do you turn to when it comes to managing that portfolio of multifamily properties? Well, how about Trinity Multifamily? They can maximize your return for you with full service property management, marketing, leasing, sales, all the services you need to make your cash flow. They take the hassles and the frustrations out of owning this and let you focus on your other interests and your other businesses. Call Trinity Multifamily 479-452-1817 or look online at trinitymultifamily.com. Trinity Multifamily is your teammate in the real estate game.
Jenkins just listened to it, by the way, and I saw him chuckle a little bit. SEC news for you. Arkansas, third in the Southeastern Conference right now, outright in the SEC basketball standings. Now, if they beat Mizzou somehow, some way in Columbia this Saturday at 3 p.m., they're going to be in second place.
Yep.
It is ripe for the taking. Second place opportunity for the Arkansas Razorbacks if they went against Mizzou on Saturday.
And that's all great and fine. What, Arkansas's got one quadrant one win this year, I believe is right.
One and five, I think is what it is.
Q1 teams.
They're 28th in net rankings, which is high to me.
Which is good, but in Arkansas's in. I mean, if the tournament was this weekend, they're in. But you're probably in at like a 9 or a 10 seed, right? 8, 9, somewhere in there. 10. You want to figure out, I don't know what the ceiling is for this team, but beating teams like Alabama that are still ahead of you in the rankings, Missouri, there's only two teams ahead of you this morning in the rankings, Florida that's coming into your place, and you need to look at the net rankings. I need to probably pull those up.
28.
But how many teams on the schedule are left in the SEC ahead? We know Bama and Missouri
Missouri, and Tennessee.
Where's LSU?
And Alabama. Tennessee's below you. They are.
Tennessee below you. Is LSU ahead of you?
41. LSU's at 41.
Okay, so there's three opportunities. You probably need to win two of those just to show the committee. Then winning some of those games, I'm just talking about improving seeding. You keep playing like this. You keep winning games at this rate. You know, you're clearly in the tournament as of today. Now, you can play your way out of it still. You got to get some quality wins. And what we're seeing, Ty, is the Southeastern Conference is, I think, a little bit top-heavy. There's not a lot of great teams. You know, there's some questions about how great is Alabama right now. How great is...
They barely beat South Carolina last night. Won by, I think it was 81-78 to final that one.
Let's just be honest. I don't think this is a league filled with 8 or 9 or 10 great teams that are just beating up on each other.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a league that really doesn't have a lot of, you know, a lot of depth to the quality of it. Now, you can argue, you know, if you think I'm wrong on that, but I think when you look at it, but you look around the landscape of college basketball, Duke's below 500, North Carolina's got their issues.
That's like I told you yesterday, 13 teams winning in some basketball history.
I mean, Duke lost to Notre Dame last night. You know, they fall below. So, I mean, college basketball is having a wildly odd year, and the door's wide open for, I mean, this will really suck if Alabama wins the national title in basketball and football, but it's wide open for a non-traditional basketball power. You know, and you would consider Alabama a school that, and that's not a basketball power by any stretch, but the door's wide open for a school and a program and a team like that to have success in the tournament this year. And, hey, why not Arkansas? You know, you got to get on a roll. You got to find your
why
mark.
Not us?
Why not our
Boston
I'm not,
Red
I'm not
Sox
sitting
race.
Here suggesting you're going to the Final Four winning the national title. I'm just saying the opportunity to do things because the Blue Bloods aren't going to be standing in the way everywhere you turn. Even if you're an 8, 9, 10 seed, you're not playing North Carolina, the number one team in the country this year, right out of the gate, number two. Now, I'm sure it'll work out where we play Gonzaga or Baylor or someone like that.
If we had to play Baylor and I had to deal with my father that weekend, I'd be livid because Baylor's a darn good basketball team. Listen, yeah,
I think they're number one in the net rankings.
I'll sacrifice and I'll go to Indianapolis if I need to stay a couple weekends if this team keeps on winning. That's what I would do for this radio station.
I'm not sure how that would help the team.
I think I think the moral support I could give both on and off air would be crucial to the team's success.
Think SmackDown. And
that's
his,
what I was saying. I mean,
and his energy and his swag and his
SmackDown takes over Indianapolis.
Yeah, you know.
But that's a good selling point right there.
I think I probably need to go with you.
Let's go.
Someone's got to run the board.
Someone has to.
You know.
And look what happened last time Ty went out for a tournament. Yeah. The whole world came crashing down.
Exactly. That's a fair point.
That's a great point. I hadn't even thought. We sent you to the SEC tournament last year, and then COVID took over the world.
And
why in the world would we send you anywhere?
Me and you still owe a trip to Las Vegas.
Absolutely.
Because that was our trip.
That was the other deal.
You guys,
I want to go to Indy. What's that? St. Elmo's Fire or whatever is the big restaurant. It's got the really pungent horseradish sauce. So
St. Elmo's
sounds like
Fire.
We got this thing figured out.
Yeah. Can you run the board? You run the board.
I'll be taking my week of vacation off that week because I never get any vacation around here.
Doesn't the vacation go through you?
You got to work. Yeah, you can request. That doesn't mean you'll be granted. It's a vacation request.
It's been 2.5 years, and I've never taken more than 2 days off.
Yeah, I think most of your days have expired.
So, not according to my paycheck. It's got the time allotted on there. I need to use the vacation times that I've been allotted, but I'm just too much of a hard worker. It's hard to get that out of my system. So,
best thing you've done in 2 years was bringing the pizza in this morning.
That's a good point. That was really good pizza.
That's a big win out of you this morning.
Okay.
Better than donuts. It's better than donuts.
I mean, I'll leave if y'all want to do the rest of the show, because apparently I'm just holding y'all back.
Yeah, we'll let you stay for another hour. We'll see how it goes. We'll make a call on it at 8.
Frank Nolan.
By the way, Kentucky's 5-13 this morning.
You can just say that.
5-13?
5-13. They're 4-7 in the SEC.
Wow.
Connor Nolan's dad, Frank, for those who don't know, I need to say this very carefully so people don't mix this up. He was not the Super Bowl streaker, but the picture that has made waves across social media with the guy.
The guy he's standing with at the bar, it's Connor Nolan's dad?
It's Frank Nolan. And I texted him this morning to see if we could try and get him on at some point, which would be quite funny.
We got to hear the backstory on this, because I can't imagine, you know, I know Connor listens because he responds and interacts with us. I don't know if he would want to share how that came about. How in the world did he get in that picture? How did he get involved in that?
I have no idea.
I want to hear the whole story.
I think it would be entertaining.
I think there
would be a funny laugh or two here and there out of that story, but we'll have to wait and see. Got some bad news yesterday. Marty Schottenheimer, at the age of 77 years old, passed away. Legendary NFL coach. What do you remember about Mr. Schottenheimer?
Chargers, Redskins, who else am I missing here? I think he coached 4 different teams in his time. Classy individual. Obviously, a lot of people know his son, who's been around the game for a little while now as an offensive coordinator. I really thought it was a low blow. Did you see what the Washington Post had for their headline?
Bad luck.
Marty Schottenheimer, whose teams, you know, basically took a shot at his team's playoff records. In their headline, dives at 77. You wonder why people hate the media. You wonder why people can't stand some of the things that go on in the reporting of the news. Just absolutely, disrespectful to someone and their family, who just passed. So I saw that this morning on Twitter where someone was, going after them, and they should, because that's a terrible job by the Washington Post on that. But Marty Schottenheimer, great coach, did, 4 different teams that he coached with over his career, and tough time for him and his family right here after the Super Bowl.
Yeah, not a good headline you want to be associated with if you're the Washington
Post.
Coached
the Chiefs, too. Mm-hmm. So.
Jenkins, I know you probably saw this. Jeremy Fowler, ESPN, has Dak Prescott ending up with the Carolina Panthers and Matt Rhule. What do you think about that?
Seems like it's trending in that direction, because I've lost all confidence in this thing.
Yeah, you're at a loss for words.
I honestly think at some point in time you would be a better general manager than whoever they have running things there. I'm serious.
That's a mouthful.
I'm in a loss. Maybe I'm making a wrong statement.
I'm giving you credit.
What do you do? Okay, if you lose Dak, where do you go?
Where do you go?
Here?
That's yeah.
People are saying Darnold.
It's clearly this is a game. We just watched the Super Bowl with Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady. This is you look at Aaron Rodgers in the NFC Championship. I mean, just look at the quarterbacks. And look at the teams, and then look at the quarterbacks that were still standing when you get to the end of the playoffs. It's all about the quarterback, right? I mean, right. It's all you don't win with an average quarterback in the NFL. Now the question is, do you believe Dak fits into that group right. of all of those quarterbacks that you can go through that were there at the end?
Can you? What do you think?
Josh Allen, yeah. Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady's not going to play forever, but he's got two or three more seasons in him. Aaron Rodgers, I don't know if he's going to be at Green Bay, but he's got five years at least in him. I mean, 37, if he wants to play that long. I mean, those were the four at the end, and those, if you had to say who are the four or five best quarterbacks in the league, I think a lot of people would have those four that were in the NFC, AFC championship. So it's clearly all about the quarterback. We're not breaking news on that. The Cowboys have got to know, okay, if you trade off, deal away, lose Dak Prescott, you got to make not just a splash, you got to like drop a boulder in the ocean here. Who do you, I mean, and how do you do that?
Can you trade up in the draft and go, maybe not get Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields, but can you trade up and go get a guy? Or
you know who's not happy right now? Who keeps talking about being elsewhere? Aaron Rodgers.
I would be.
Now, how could you make that happen?
Russell Wilson seems malcontent, too. Yeah. There's a couple quarterbacks out there that Dallas Cowboy fans would
talk about
run.
Energizing an entire fan base and a franchise. Get that star on the side of Aaron Rodgers' helmet. I don't know if that's reality.
I thought he was trying to win another Super Bowl.
Well, that's...
You can't do that in a Cowboys uniform.
Well, maybe you can if you're Aaron Rodgers.
Try the new Bud Light Seltzer Lemonade. The taste of sweet lemonade meets the refreshment of a hard seltzer. Original black cherry, strawberry, and peach lemonade. The new Bud Light Seltzer Lemonade.
They just threw him out of the game! He's gotten his second technical, and he's been thrown out of the ball game.
Speaking of putting something on the resume, our next guest, Frank Nolan, who's Connor Nolan's father, put something on his resume this past weekend as he took a picture with a guy that streaked at the Super Bowl. Frank, we really appreciate you taking your time this morning to join the Morning Rush. I know you've got a number of interviews that you've been doing. Just kind of from the start, man.
What's the story?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. It was quite a bizarre and just random encounter. You know, sitting there at the bar, Jay Alexander's restaurant in South Middle Mabry in Tampa, Florida. And I was on the way to fly back to Reno. So I was heading to the airport and just stopped in for a quick lunch. And we're sitting at the bar and ESPN comes on and they're talking about the streaker. And the bar top was full and we were at a high top. This guy comes around from the left and he's very intensely watching what's going on with the streaker story on SportsCenter. So we're sitting there, and the guy at the bar says, I wonder what that idiot's doing today. And just out of the blue, this guy says, hey, that's me. I'm the streaker. And we're like, yeah, right. You know, you're not the streaker. And the woman that's sitting at the bar, she says, show us your tats. So he pulls up his shirt. She says, take your shirt off. And he just rips his shirt off. And shirt off. It's the streaker.
Wow.
So he's standing there, and everybody's taking pictures with him and talking to him. So I pulled him over to the side. I said, all right, I've got to hear the story. You get give me the scoop. What happened? And so he goes into the story of what transpired. It was pretty bizarre. It was a brilliant plan and very well organized. And, you know, it was quite impressive what they pulled off, in my opinion.
So what we have heard is that what he told you? Is that true that he had put $50,000 up against the odds to make over $300,000? The friend went out as a diversion. Is what is being reported? What you were told?
100%. 100%. And it wasn't. You know, Yuri didn't put $50,000 himself. From what I understand, it was numerous bets, smaller bets. And you know the number that he told me was that they average 750 to 1 or plus 750 rather. And so, you know, $50,000 total plus $750,000, the math's pretty simple. And then you get into what made even more sense is that he said, you know, cost of $1,000 in bail. Well, his bail money, from what I understand, was $500. His partner was $500. So there's your $1,000. Super Bowl tickets, you know, $5,000 a piece. There's another $10,000 in expenses. So when you start adding it all up, you know, they probably netted $330, $340.
Still a good day at the office.
Pre-tax, by the way.
Yeah.
Frank, I wonder, because Tommy made the point, well, you got to be naked to streak. Now, I know he showed a little bit of his butt during the whole shamble of what happened, but was there any pushback from when you were talking to him from what sports book did he bet, by the way? I don't know if
I'm not going to disclose that.
Okay.
Because it's, you know, I'm really not for sure exactly which ones, but I do know that it was numerous.
Okay.
And it wasn't just one $50,000 bet. I mean, everybody
he spread it out.
Everyone's talking about how, you know, obviously one sports book place would have seen that as unusual, highly unusual, and would not have accepted that bet. I agree with that. And they knew that. These are not dumb guys.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Yuri's a rocket scientist by any stretch of the imagination, but you know, it was very well planned.
Well, he's the guy with 300-something thousand, and we're sitting here talking about it. So, I mean,
hey, he had the courage, liquid or otherwise, to do what he did.
Yeah, so, Frank. I mean,
That's one thing that he did share with me. He said, you know, they've been drinking beer and hanging out, and they were, you know, they were at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but they had this plan.
Actually happened. He did slam four beers, so he said he was feeling no pain when he slid into the end zone.
That's fantastic. Now, did him and his partner split the money, Frank? How did they divvy that out from your conversations?
You know, from what I was told, it was it's multiple people that were involved, so there. I don't think it was just he and one other person. Obviously, they had to get bailed out, and that's kind of hard to do when you're in there overnight. They had someone bail them out. They had a plan to get out of jail. So, I mean, it was, again, I think it was quite brilliant. They beat the system. If in the future, if they want to remove that bet and not have that prop bet, was kind of screwy prop bet anyway. But nonetheless, these guys shouldn't be punished for that, in my opinion. I think it was quite brilliant and worked very well planned.
Yeah. So were you at the Super Bowl, or were you just in Tampa for
the reason? I was in Tampa. You know, I'd already booked my trip down there early January, well before Tampa Bay. And I lived in Tampa with Peyton and Connor. Were there living with my wife and I in Tampa. So they grew up in Tampa. We lived there for about 7 years. And my youngest son, Brady, you know, go figure, Brady, which Connor helped name Brady, but he was born in Tampa. So we have a lot of ties there. I had some business meetings to go to. Just, you know, I knew that with the Super Bowl being in Tampa, that city was going to be electric.
So we got to ask you a baseball question, because we're, what, 9 days out from the start of the season. You got to be excited about the start of baseball season coming up.
Very much so. You know, coming out of the COVID year, all of these athletes across the country being sidelined from various sports, it's been a trying time for everyone. You know, how it is. These kids, they want to compete. They want to get out there. They want to prove themselves, prove their stuff, and just get out and play ball.
Frank, I know that. Go ahead, and I apologize.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
I found it interesting. So you're based in Reno right now, all right?
Yes.
How long have you been there?
I've been in Reno for approximately 13 years.
Okay. So I don't know if you saw firsthand. Did you go watch a Nevada game with Muss at all? Did you have a pretty good idea?
Yeah, I was actually friends with Muss when he was here, and he actually called me on a Sunday night. He said, "Frank," he said, "you know, I was supposed to be hired by Alabama in the morning. They were going to send the Jets to pick me up, and I was going to be introduced." And he said, "They, you know, just picked another coach." I said, "Yes," and I saw that. He goes, "Do you happen to know how to get a hold of the athletic director at Arkansas?" I said, "Coach," I said, I think I can figure that out for you."
Yeah,
how about
and
that?
So that's kind of how that started. And I asked him, I said, why is your agent? I said, "You have the worst agent on the planet. If he can't even get a hold of athletic director at Arkansas," I was like, "You know, A.D. Yurchek's a great guy. And he's very accessible." And Musselman's answer was, "I don't know." He said, "Maybe I should hire you as my agent."
Yeah.
How about that?
What a great story that is, too. Two great stories this morning.
So Frank Nolan, Connor Nolan's dad is the reason Eric Musselman is your basketball coach.
I'm not claiming that at all. I just happened to be in the right place at the right time on a couple occasions.
Well, Frank, we really appreciate your time this
Great
morning.
Story.
I know you got a lot of interviews to go, and just right place, right time, man. You were evidence of that this weekend.
Yeah. Hall of Fame
Timing's
picture.
Timing's everything, gentlemen. Timing's everything.
Right. We appreciate it, man. Can't wait to watch your son this baseball season. I'll be in the outfield. Don't trust me on that.
Not a problem. Have a great day. Thank you very much.
Right. So Frank Nolan, the guy that was in the picture with the streaker from the Super Bowl with the Arkansas Ties right here on the morning. Oh, you're not getting that anywhere else.
Nope. The Morning Rush exclusive.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
A bright red Razorback caravan is headed to Nebraska, and this time we're coming for the whole damn thing.
Go to the phone line. Welcome in Rod on I-4 this morning. Wants to talk a little Arkansas basketball. Rod, go ahead.
Yeah, but first, who's the worst fan base? Is it Blue Nation? Because they don't really have a lot of claim to it right now, I'm told. What is 5-13?
Yeah, 5-13 been heard. It's got to be a couple. It's either Kentucky basketball fans, LSU baseball fans have to be up there in the conversation. Ole Miss baseball's there, but LSU baseball fans are worse smack down.
LSU.
Their baseball fans are horrendous.
I'll say this about LSU. They actually have the national championships to back this up. Who's the precursor to Paul Menary?
Skip Bertman.
Yeah. Bertman. They have that. Ole Miss doesn't have anything to back it up. They've had, what, one college World Series appearance since 78?
Mm-hmm.
Those bums got wiped down by Arkansas.
They've never even been to an SEC championship game in football. Thank you, Hunter.
Yeah, they don't have anything to back it up.
Crow on that.
You can be mad at LSU fans. You can hate LSU. LSU can back it up with their accolades. Ole Miss can't, Rod.
Well, you know, I'm a Cowboy fan. I hate to admit that. We're kind of indifferent right now. We have been for a long time because, you know, the last guy, Cowboy went to the Super Bowl was Romo, and he was an announcer. So that's not going to happen. Auburn's that crap crazy. They're going to kill somebody else's trees. When they lose a game and they fire a coach, I don't know. He might have had a national championship there one time. So Auburn's really, really bad, but I'm not worried about Kentucky. I'm focused more on Missouri right now because we got some of our guys back. Justin's going to be here this time. That's going to help. So, you know, we might pull this one off at Mizzou, but Auburn's just nuts. You know, most of them just mean fans, but Auburn's nuts. They're back crap crazy.
All right.
Because they're always trying to be Alabama, and they'll never be Alabama.
Not the same thing. Rod, appreciate the call this morning. I think we will eventually come back to the worst fans in sports conversations because we didn't necessarily get in depth like I wanted to. We'll talk some more because you've got a couple texts already that people have responded to that. We're changing it up this morning with Frank Nolan joining us again, the dad of Connor Nolan, who took the picture with the Super Bowl streaker down there in Tampa at a bar of... Not St. Augustine's. What's it called? I can't remember. We'll ask him about it. Yeah. But we're going to put What's Your Beef Wednesday right here. So if you have a beef this morning, get him in at 877-377-6963.
What is wrong with you?
Say, I want to complain.
I'm complaining.
I want to complain about
complaining.
I want to complain.
It really pisses me off today.
To simply listen to people whine and complain.
I'm angry. I'm spitting angry. I'm like a tornado of anger. Swirling about. My heart rate is dangerously high right now.
I'm complaining because not enough people tickle, hug, or smile.
I'm so mad I could eat ball bearings and crap BBs.
It's time for What's Your Beef Wednesday.
It's brought to you by CJ's Butcher Boy Burgers. Two locations, one in Fayetteville off Weddington, one in Russellville off Arkansas Avenue. Had CJ's this past weekend. It was fantastic, like it always is. Now, I did because I got a milkshake, I didn't get the double. I just splurged for a single. But when you go, do not miss on the fry sauce.
Nope.
It changes your life.
The real secret to why CJ's is just better than everyone else, whatever they do with the seasoning, the griddle, the smashing it down, and getting the perfect skin on those patties coming off the griddle. And then I've tried this on my griddle at home. I just can't get it where you get it off and you flip it and do everything you do and not scrape that skin off the They do a perfect job of that. That's what makes their burgers taste so great.
It's unbelievable. You can check out their menu at butcherboyburger.com. Whether it's ordering on the app, whether it's ordering takeout at both locations, dine-in at both locations. The Fayetteville location also has the drive-through curbside. There's just a variety of ways that you can get the best burgers and the best fries in all of Arkansas. And Keith, as so many of us are, is a big-time Razorback fan, whether it's former players, Muss, whoever. They love to stop by because they know the quality they're getting at CJ's Butcher Boy Burgers. CJ's Butcher Boy Burgers. When all you do are burgers, they have to be the best. All right, we've got a couple calls in here this morning. Tommy, I'll let you start before we get to the calls. What is your beef this Wednesday?
And maybe this doesn't fit in the beef bucket, a complaint bucket, but I find it hilarious. I find it frustrating that Kentucky fans last night on social media, Kentucky fans were online complaining about the officiating, that they didn't get the calls at home, that Kentucky got the short end of the stick when it came to the officiating in the Arkansas-Kentucky game last night.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this isn't a good beef because I ought to be fired up and really mad. I think it's hilarious that Kentucky, of all the programs out there, that wants to say they didn't get the benefit of the doubt or they didn't get the edge. Come on. You've lived on that. That's been your quarterly dividend you've handed out to your shareholders for decades. Get out of here. The last basketball program that ever gets the right to complain about getting jobbed about officiating is Kentucky. Get out of here. You didn't like what you got in a home game? Get out of here. This is how entitled Kentucky, we were talking about bad sports fan bases. This is why they're one of them. They feel so entitled that, hey, we're not good enough to win. We're clearly not good enough to beat Arkansas. We need help, and we didn't get the help. We're Kentucky. Throw us a lifeline. And they didn't get the lifeline last night. I think it's hilarious. Hilarious. By the way, Kentucky's 5-13 this morning on their record.
So what I just took away there is, are you saying that they've gotten the lifeline in years past? Have they gotten benefit of calls in years past?
That's always the claim. That's always the claim from every other, the other 13 fan bases in the SEC and the rest of college basketball, that Kentucky and the Blue Bloods like Duke and North Carolina get the benefit of the doubt. I just find it hilarious when a program that has went to, what, four Final Fours in the last 12 years or 11 years, whatever it is, wants to blame the outcome of the game on officiating. Yep. Get out of here.
I think a lot of
you're better than that, Kentucky.
I think a lot of Arkansas fans, not just Arkansas fans, but fans across the SEC, were validated last night in the fact that there was a clear foul at the end of the game, and the officials called it within Kentucky in the last 5 seconds, which you just don't think. Yeah. You don't see it in Cameron Indoor at Duke. You don't see it in Allen Fieldhouse in Kansas. Pac-12 doesn't really have a dominant program. Maybe you didn't see it at UCLA when John Wooden was coaching the fellas up, but in certain programs, they get calls. It's just how it goes. And Kentucky,
well, usually they aren't, they usually have the better team, and they put themselves in the situation to get the call. I just find it hilarious that Kentucky's complaining like they got shafted. Get out of here. I mean, I'm not going to listen to Kentucky say they got cheated out of a ball game.
Flash's beef this morning is Ole Miss baseball. He was joking about last year that the hype video that Ole Miss baseball put out was them getting waxed by Arkansas in the Super Regional. They posted some highlights.
Did the hype video include the kid eating the booger?
I think it's Doug Nikhazy is who it is, I think. I wouldn't be surprised.
That should be in the video.
And that's one of their starting pitchers, if I remember that correctly.
Getting him a little protein snack before the game.
That's his beef this morning. My beef kind of it coincides with yours. It's like Kentucky fans feel as they're robbed. No, your team just sucks. First off, you're a bunch of illiterate inbreds, as I mentioned earlier. You can't read a book. And then all of a sudden now, and I guarantee you the topic of every Kentucky sports radio show this morning, whether it's Matt Jones, Nick Roush, whoever the case may be. By the way, Matt Jones was too much of a candy ass to come on this program yesterday because the team sucks and he can't come on a radio show unless he can brag about his beloved Wildcats. Well, here's the thing. It's hard to say. You don't want to throw stones through glass houses because Arkansas hasn't held up their end of the bargain since the 90s. But Kentucky is awful this year. And now you have all these fans, whether it's the officiating that you're talking about, whether it's blaming, booing BJ Boston at home, blaming Cal, saying he should take a hike, do whatever. Your team is just not good. And it's not just you.
But they have the talent to be
Duke,
good.
North Carolina, Kansas isn't, I don't know, necessarily in that same category, but it's just all these basketball teams that you're so used to having a high volume of success are not good. And part of the reason of that is because the one-and-done factor, you didn't have time to gel. And that has just messed up numerous teams that you expect to dominate college basketball, and it just hasn't this year. So that would be my beef on this Wednesday.
What should we all learn? What are the lessons learned out of everything you just said that's accurate? What was the secret sauce missing this year for everyone? Was it the offseason? Was it the time spent together as a team? What is the secret ingredient that so many elite programs are missing this year that is taken away from their success? Or did COVID just become so overwhelming and such a distraction on so many of these campuses that they just couldn't go through the routine? I think that's a lot of it, that the practice restrictions, the campus restrictions, just on and on and on, have just not allowed these coaches to operate and function their programs the way they're used to doing it.
I think it's a combination of a bunch of things.
There's probably not one answer. You're right. So it's just interesting that so many of these elite programs are so far off the norm this year.
Josh Fermina,
including Kentucky.
Josh Fermina wants to know Kentucky's record, Tommy.
Let me look here. Let's see. Kentucky has 5 wins and 13 losses this year. They are 5-13 and unranked as of February 10th, the year 2021.
Feels good to say, doesn't it?
And that tells you how, I mean, we're celebrating. I mean, obviously you feel good because Arkansas went and got a road win at Rupp, which is not something they've done since, February 27th, 2014, I guess it was. You snap that, but that tells you how much respect you really deep down have for Kentucky, because here we are celebrating it this morning because you really beat a pretty mediocre to less than average Kentucky team last night.
Yeah.
So, all right, you got no more beefs?
I mean, the Kentucky thing just kind of summed it up this morning. So, I don't really have any outside of the Kentucky thing. I was pretty – it's hard to be – angry this morning based on the fact that Arkansas
won. That's exactly right.
And like I said, had some very choice words last night towards the end of the game because I thought Arkansas...
You feel a little taller today, a little thinner today. You feel like you could run a little faster today, jump a little higher.
Even after
because you beat Kentucky.
Even after that victory slice that me, you, and Jenkins partaked in at 6 o'clock this morning. Hey, we're brought to you this morning by Razorback Camper Sales. Spring camping season is almost here, and the folks at Razorback Camper Sales are ready for you. They have a huge selection of travel trailers, fifth wheels, and pop-ups. Plus, they offer a full prep and setup at no extra cost. You can start camping immediately. You'll have access to the best parts and service department in the state. Razorback Camper Sales is the only family-owned RV dealer in Arkansas over 50 years, oldest owned. It's show season right now, so go see them. The Arkansas RV Show in Little Rock, February 12th through the 14th, and the Bowdoin RV Show in Hot Springs, February 26th through the 28th. That is Razorback Camper Sales. So Tommy and I's beef coincided with each other, the fact that we hate Kentucky, and that fan base, again, is so, so easy to make fun of. So I'd ask you this morning, who's the worst fan base in all of sports? Now, we brought up Ole Miss because there's always seemingly an arrogance about the Rebels fan base that does not go together with their lack of success across the three major sports. That doesn't make sense. I look at the Los Angeles Lakers having a lot of fair weather fans, and I know they've had the luxury of Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Jerry West, Kobe Bryant, now LeBron James. So they've had success. But when those teams
all-star
are down,
team right
yeah
there.
But when those success, when that success is down, there's not a lot of Laker fans. You see the fair weather aspect. A&M football to me is another one that just drives me. Maybe it's just because Arkansas keeps losing to them, but there's just a lot of things about that school that drive me nuts. What's a fan base?
What about, let me just ask you this one, we don't see a lot of it in our world, but when you run across one, you know it. A Duke basketball fan, the Dukies. You know, what's your opinion of because I have engaged and encountered a few obnoxious bandwagon Duke basketball fans in our days, that generally seeming to only come out of the woodwork in our part of the world when they're good, which is often. Mm-hmm. Not this year. They're not wearing those jerseys right now, but generally when Duke is Final Four good.
The brotherhood, as Jay Williams and so many alums like to call it.
No. I think they're pretty obnoxious at times, too.
They are.
And they think they're elite. They just think they're better people than you. They just look down their nose at you. That's my experience with the Dukies. So
Duke is quite annoying.
JT says Dukies are just as bad as Kentucky. I have more experience with Kentucky because I've been to more SEC tournaments. I've never been to an ACC tournament. Arkansas's experience with Duke fans is generally in tournaments, in NCAA tournaments. But I've seen just awful, horrid, horrendous behavior out of Big Blue Nation in Nashville and other SEC tournaments.
I would like to know the perspective from those that attended the Final Four in 1990, the national championship in 94, what the reception like was with Duke fans. And you beat them in 91? Is that right? Play them in 90, lost in the Final Four.
You lost to them in 90 in the final, in the national semifinals, in the Final Four in Denver. When all those great
Didn't
players...
Did you play them in 91 the following year?
Freshman. I will have to look that up.
Okay.
I've slept a few nights since then. Yeah, I think it was... No, it was 92 you lost to Kansas. I thought you lost to Memphis the next year, but...
Well, this would have been a regular season game, I think. So I'm...
Well, let me check on that.
Maybe I'm off on that, but I'd like to get someone's opinion.
I have a media guide here that will solve that question.
What this like? While you're looking at that, I want to welcome in Ryan in Hot Springs to the conversation. Ryan, got about a minute and a half, man. Go ahead.
I'll make it quick. What's my beef is the I'm so sick of the SEC Network, man. After the game, we went to bed. We didn't watch any of that stuff. So anyway, I watched it just a few minutes ago. They didn't show but one Arkansas highlight, and they talked. I mean, all they did was talk up a crappy Kentucky team. I've never seen such an average or below average team get talked up so much in my life. It was a little disrespectful towards Arkansas. The only highlight they showed was Davis getting the steal. It just stuck in my craw, and I thought I would call in and share my that's my beef.
Ryan, your beef is very valid, and we appreciate your call, buddy. Unfortunately, the ESPNs, the SEC networks, the Foxes, the sports entertainment platforms that you will continue to assume know where their bread is buttered, mm-hmm. and until Kentucky basketball...
Kentucky's still a national brand.
Yeah, and it sucks to say, and Arkansas's not.
Yeah.
And Muss is trying to get it back to a point where it is, and you've got some recruiting ties that are really starting to make waves amongst kids, but Arkansas is not a national brand anymore in basketball. It's not in football. It sure as heck ain't in football. The only really you can stand on in the three majors is baseball. Now, track and field, we know it's a national brand there, but you're not in basketball or football, and it's always going to stick in your craw, and I completely get that, and I understand that, and it's quite annoying on a What's Your Beef Wednesday.
All right, your memory's pretty good. Arkansas and Duke played in the Final Four in Denver. Arkansas lost that game, as we know, 97-83. Duke went on to win the national title. The next season, the Dodge preseason NIT was in New York City, and Arkansas was second-ranked. Duke was sixth-ranked, and Arkansas beat Duke 98-88. Then beat Arizona the next day, or 2 days later.
Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts.